We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, which is brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I am Jim Galante. I am with Bob Flounders. We are practicing social distancing. He's at his place. I am at mine. Bob, I am sure you had your hand raised with four fingers up to indicate we're going to finish strong in the fourth quarter, right?
I absolutely do. I actually have both hands up in support of our fellow, in support of Andy Shea and Ross Tucker as well, since they can't all be on at once. I'm thinking of them as well.
Very good. All right. This, Bob, is the moment we've all been waiting for. We've been doing your top 25 countdown, and we finally reached the top three players. And just a little foreshadowing here, because Ross isn't here, Andy's not here to do it, I am going to question you on this, okay?
That is perfectly understandable. You pay attention to Penn State football as much as anyone I know. So, if you have a gripe, I'm sure it's legit, Jimmy.
All right. Since I want to make sure my gripe gets in there, I'm going to start with your number three player is Sean Clifford. Yep. And if we're talking top 25 players as far as importance, as far as they're the factor of between success and not so success, how in the world could you not have the quarterback number one?
it was a two-pronged problem as I looked at this, because I think I've done these lists before and I concluded Trace was number one, I think, in 17 and 18, and I think that in 15 I had Christian Hackenberg number one. It's obviously in this game and in the pro game, it's an offensive game and it's a quarterback's game. But I would say I actually debated upon putting him a little bit further down the list away from number one. And that was where I was torn. So Sean Clifford, I thought, was a revelation in his first year as a starter, especially considering, Jimmy, you know, in mid-April, he was not an afterthought, but he wouldn't even have been on last year's list because the presumption was that we'd be talking about Tommy Stevens in the offense in 2019, but things happen. I think it's pretty clear that Sean Clifford, since the start of the 2018 season through the 2018 season and in the 2019 spring, really made some huge strides and impressed the coaches. And I think Tommy Stevens also was aware of that. And when James said at the end of the 2019 spring game that he was going to be more of a true competition because Tommy was recovering from, I believe, foot surgery that really limited him in 2018. I don't think that sat well with Tommy. I think that James had no choice but to do it that way. Tommy transfers to Mississippi State. Sean Clifford steps up and tells the team it's not going to be any drop off at the position. And honestly, Jimmy, I would say if you looked at last season when he was healthy, I thought he did some really good things. He wasn't perfect, but he surprised me how good of a runner he was and how he was able to impact the game with his legs. He ran, he claimed, in the 4.5 range almost as fast as Trace McSorley. The passing part of it was still kind of coming together. He was hampered by drop passes, as you know. I got to be honest. I think that if Tommy Stevens was the quarterback last year, they're not going to be 11-2. I think they would have lost a couple of more games. I think that Sean was the right choice. I think he got better when he was healthy as the year went on. My question about him is, what is his ceiling? How much better can he get? How much can Kirk Ciarrocca help him? He really helped Tanner Morgan at Minnesota, and he wasn't even a running threat. So I'm not sure what Sean's ceiling is. I'm almost positive he's separated himself from Will Fries. I like Will Fries a lot, but when he struggled a little bit to throw the ball in the Rutgers game, that gave me a little bit of pause. I know he can run the ball. He's built like a tank. I think he's a great number two, but I think it's Sean's job for sure. And I'm curious to see with the questions at wideout, what Sean can do. I think that's going to maybe limit him a little bit, but I do think the presence of Kirk will really help him grow. But you're right. Normally he is number one. I think Will Fries is the wild card. I like the fact that they trust their backup, and he showed he could play at Ohio State. But, and I would also say this, the two players that are ahead of Sean Clifford are phenomenal physical talents, and that's probably why I slotted him at three.
Okay, that's understandable. And I also think, Bob, you've been sneaking a peek at my notes, because the two questions that I had, I've been hammering home over the last couple weeks that the elite teams have elite quarterbacks. You have Tua and Trevor Lawrence. And my question was, could Sean Clifford be one of those guys? And could it be Kirk Ciarca who gets him there, gets him to his ceiling?
I think that he's definitely going to improve under Kirk, because I do think that Sean can do some things that Tanner Morgan could not. The one thing I saw from Sean last year is there were times where in the RPO or just on pass plays in general, the ball didn't come out right away. He held on to it a little bit. I think if you watch the Penn State Minnesota game, whenever Morgan when RPO was called and he decided to throw the ball was out before Penn State could literally react. I think you're going to see Kirk emphasize that with Sean. And also, if you remember, James Franklin talked earlier this year about it's important for the Penn State offense to use every part of the field. He felt like the field got restricted last year when they were throwing the ball. They didn't always go to the wide side. I think that's another point of emphasis, and I think if they involve all of the receivers, it'll lead to a more balanced offense.
Well, I was just so impressed with that Minnesota offense and Kirk Ciarca there. I know that's a small sample size, but apparently it impressed James Franklin also. All right, that's number three, Sean Clifford. Let's go on to number two, Pat Freiermuth, tremendous tight end.
Yeah, I mean, he was – again, just like Sean Clifford's number three for a couple different reasons, one of them being two really tremendous athletes who are just clearly, you know, more important to the team. The guy at number one is the only reason keeping Pat Freiermuth from not being number one. I think he's as close to a complete tight end at Penn State that I've seen since I've been covering him since 2002. He can block. He's almost 260 pounds. He can run. He can run down the middle. He can run by some people. He did that in the Michigan game. You saw what he can do after the catch. You saw his athleticism on that fourth down catch against Buffalo when the game was still tight in the third quarter. He caught that pass. It was behind him, turned it into a touchdown. He does a lot of things very, very well. And we got to remember, even though he's a little bit older than people realize because of what happened with his prep school, I think he had an added year. He's still a young player. I like the fact that he came back when he could have left for the NFL. I think there is still another level he can get to. I was disappointed that a lot of people didn't consider him, I guess, a top eight tight end in the country. He got snubbed, I thought, for the Mackey Award. He's got 15 touchdowns in 2 years. Great threat in the red zone. Does not drop a lot of passes. Versatile player. Interested to see what Kirk Ciarca will do with him, because they had some big lugs at tight end at Minnesota, but they just weren't the athletes that Freiermuth was. I'm just trying to think, you know, we all had the pleasure of watching Mike Gesicki play for 2 years at a high level at Penn State, but he was one dimensional. And I think Mike would admit that he was essentially a big receiver and a great one. And he was a second round pick with the Dolphins. Actually started to turn the corner last year with the Dolphins during the second half of the year. I look at Pat Freiermuth and I think if he takes the next step in his development at Penn State when the season resumes, hopefully soon, I think he's a first round pick. I don't know that he's quite as good as TJ Hockenson, who was a high first round pick at Iowa, but they had two first round picks, Noah Fenton, Hockenson go in 1 year. And it's hard to find a draftable tight end that can do both things well. If you look, usually they're good pass catchers or they're just good blockers and they take them later. To get a tight end who can do both is invaluable. I think this guy is a future first round pick if he stays healthy, and it's going to be a pleasure watching him when football resumes.
Yeah, it's just too bad he's got an offensive coordinator who doesn't throw to tight ends, right? I'm sure he'll find a way. And also, one other comment from me is, at the risk of sounding like our buddy Ross Tucker, what really impressed me was at the Cotton Bowl where he was just running over people after the catch, too.
Correct. Absolutely.
That is so much fun to watch as a fan. It's tremendous to see. He catches, he blocks, and he runs over people. All right, I don't want to go too far with Pat Freiermuth because we got to get to our number one player, and he is who, Bob?
It's Micah Parsons from my backyard, Harrisburg High School. No surprise. I think he'd be number one on most people's list of most important and most talented players. 6'3", 245. He's going to be a junior this year. All-American, consensus All-American last year. Literally can do everything at the linebacker position. I've never seen a player that big run that fast and hit that hard. Just to say, James Franklin's in his seventh year. The only player I've seen at Penn State who has been more athletic in terms of being a freak is Saquon Barkley. But Micah is closing the gap. And I would also say a freak that could also play football. There are some good players at Penn State that can test well, but they got to play well as well. Barkley did it. Parsons can do it. Just watch the tape of the Cotton Bowl. I know Memphis's offense, you know, struggled to hold him down. He made plays down the stretch. If you look at his tackles and his tackles for loss against good teams, Minnesota, Ohio State, he was more often than not the best player on the field. The only thing missing from Micah's game, and it will get corrected, he was in position to intercept some passes and turn the game around. He didn't hold on to those passes. He has great range. He can make some interceptions, and I think you're going to see his game evolve in terms of disruption. I think you're going to see him use more effectively on the blitz. He knows how to blitz, how to time it, and I think Brent's going to turn him loose as a pass rusher. Just really delightful to watch. The comparison is usually to LeVar Arrington. I think it's pretty apt. To me, if he's healthy and he has a comparable year as last year, he's a top five pick in the NFL. So versatile, so athletic. I don't know when we're going to see another guy like him. But then again, they got Brandon Smith, Jimmy. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, and I'll tell you what, as the season progressed, it seemed like the Cotton Bowl was the culmination of this guy getting better and becoming a more instinctive linebacker. Remember, he was a defensive end in high school, right?
That's correct.
So
that's correct. And he talked about it took him a little while to start playing fast. That's a big position jump. I thought he handled it well. And now that he knows, his game speed is phenomenal. And I just think that we still haven't seen the best of him. I don't think James Franklin was lying when he said in November that he's got another level. I can't wait to see it. He is a generational type player on the defensive side.
All right. That's it for the Keystone Kickoff Show. We'll see you next time.
The sports world has been put on hold, including the blue-white spring game. This is as disappointing at GoPSURV.com as it is to all of you. If you made GoPSURV reservations for the spring game, contact Mark at 800-519-8467. And for those who've entered the free RV raffle through the KSN app, GoPSURV has announced that they will offer an RV for their first regular season game. If you've already entered, your entry will go towards that raffle. We look forward to seeing you in the fall.
So, what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma. Or the crisp, clean finish. That all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.